What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Sit back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Yeah, what's up? What's good, everybody? I hope everybody's counting their blessings and not their problems. Having an amazing weekend. If this is your first time tapping into the Rec Show podcast, welcome. Welcome to the show, man. Y'all go ahead and like, follow, leave a comment if you can on this podcast, man. That's how it, you know, gets up to the rankings and exposed to more people around the world. You feel me? So I appreciate y'all, man. Yo, we got another dope episode for y'all, man. But first, yo, right now you're listening to You're My Favorite from a dope beat maker. She goes by the name of Acoustic Funk Bot, AKOUSTICFUNKBOT. She is amazing, man. I've been trying to get her on the show for a minute, man. She keep, you know what I mean? She keep dodging me, yo. But yo, I'm gonna keep at it, man. I'm gonna keep at it. I ain't gonna take no for an answer, man. So, yo, we got another dope episode. We staying in New York. We got another one, Brooklyn's own beat maker, man. He just put out, you know what I mean, in like 2021, How I Swing Volume 1. Yeah, man. I want y'all to give it up for Hygino the One. All right, Hygino the One, welcome to the show. Thank you for, you know, even saying yes to the show, man. I appreciate you, man. And yeah, we're gonna hear from him. We're gonna hear about his music, his journey, and that's how we do it, man. Here, those four beat makers by beat makers, you know what I mean? So we'll be back, man. Y'all, thank y'all for tapping in, man. Oh yeah, I just saw a dope cypher, man. Sponsored by the good homies on YouTube, World MC. That's EMCEE. It was just a live MPC cypher, man. There was a group of beat makers putting a live track together, playing it live while Spanish MCs was rapping. That shit was amazing, man. Shout out to World MC for that, man. We'll be back, man. Peace and love, yo.
Hey, yo, what's poppin', y'all? This is Hygino. You are tuning in to the Rec Show podcast with the good brother Golden Mind. Check it out. Get out. One.
Captain, I have taken the liberty to arrange a decoy ship filled with robots moving on an exact course at the very edge of the Vega system. It is a primary attraction for the cybernetic criminals.
What I think he's trying to say, Captain, is that the decoy ship will certainly make a juicy target for those warmongering bunch of Romulan savages.
Hardly put, Ensign Chekov, and I appreciate your youthful enthusiasm.
Yo, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to episode number 41 with Hajino, the one man. Yo, we're going to get right into the interview. First of all, welcome Hajino to the Rec Show podcast. You know, first question is always, you know, for B-heads of the internet. Well, not even a question, but please introduce yourself, where you're from, what your name means, and how your name was created. And then, you know, any associated collectives you might be a part of, you want to shout out. You feel me?
No doubt, no doubt. Yo, peace. This is Hajino, one and only. For those that do know, for those that don't know, you know, Hajino. I'm from Brooklyn, born and raised, and I'm currently living in Atlanta right now. You know what I'm saying? And I make beats, you know? I make beats. Produce all that good shit, all that good stuff. I don't know if I could curse.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
But as far as my name goes, my name is my name, you know? That's where it really stemmed from. I used to have different aliases before, like when I first started making beats. I didn't know what to name myself until my brother told me, yo, you should name yourself Cluttered Thoughts. And I was like, that's fly. But I didn't want to take his idea, so I flipped it. And I instead of calling myself Cluttered Thoughts, called myself Standalone Thoughts. But then I was like, you know what? I don't think I like that name. Let me call myself Set. And that was like some acronym type shit. Sound emitting transmission. It didn't make sense. And then I was listening to New Job Best. Like, I was listening to a lot of Dilla, New Job Best, Madlib, and New Job Best definitely inspired my name. Since his name is backwards, I was like, let me see if I can flip my name backwards. My name is Onija, you know, for those like that don't know, but my name is Onija. So I flipped my name backwards, and it's Hajino. So it's, you know, it's my name backwards. That's the origin of my name.
That's dope, bro. You do me mad name changes. But yeah, I'm glad you settled on this one. This one is dope, man. Hajino the One, man. So yeah, let me ask you, like, how did you begin your journey into music and sampling? Because that's what this show is about. You know what I mean? Beat makers, sampling, records, all that type of stuff. And then, like, do you remember that one moment that sparked your interest into making your own beats?
Well, music definitely has played a huge role in my life as a younger child, you know. All thanks to my older brother and sister. They used to play music left and right, you know. My sister used to play a lot of joints from Aaliyah, Timbaland. Played Amilla Rue, for those that don't know, from Groove Theory. You know what I'm saying? Amilla Rue. I highly recommend anybody to listen to that. Infinite Possibilities. Pretty much whatever she got, go listen to that. You know what I'm saying? I think my sister for blasting that, and my brother, you know, blasting, you know, both of them blasting Bone Thugs and Harmony. You know what I'm saying? A lot of joints, you know what I'm saying? And Outkast, you know. I learned a lot from, you know, my brother and sister. And they would tell you, if you was ever to meet them, they would tell you, you knew it since birth. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's, you know, it's been around. But what really got me starting to make beats was around 2006. My older brother and his friend, they was trying to rap. They went to the crib. They was trying to rap. They was like, yo, we're gonna spit some bars. We're gonna really do this rap thing. And I was hype. I was like, yo, I wanna join as a kid, you know what I'm saying? Like sixth grade. It's crazy. I was like, yo, I wanna join, I wanna write, I wanna spit, with y'all, I wanna rap as well. And they was like, alright. So I wrote some bars on a sheet of paper, a little white printer sheet of paper and whatnot. Just wrote some stuff and, you know, just a few sentences. I don't have that lyric anywhere. I can't find it, but it was not good. I assure you, it wasn't good. But my older brother's friend, he was like, nah, 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 little mans, nah, nah, bro, nah, bro. You ain't the rapper, bro. You the producer. And me, I was mesmerized by it. I was like, producer, like a kid still. I was like, oh, show me the way. What's good? So boom, he showed me the DAWs. He showed me about FL Studio and Reasons. He did it on some Blue Pill and Red Pill and Blue Pill shit on the Matrix. He was like, all right, so boom. You want the easy or the hard? So the easy was like, he thought easy was FL and Reason was the hard one. Deep down inside, really, at the time, both of them shits was hard to me. I was like, God damn. But I chose FL first. I was like, yeah, let me mess with the FL. So boom, we downloaded the FL. You know what I'm saying? Downloaded the FL and I could not make a beat. I didn't understand anything what I was seeing when I first encountered FL Studios. I was like, yo, this is weird. What is this? Like, I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the sequencer, I didn't understand what that was. I've seen a game that gave me an idea of what the sequencer was. Like, back when Method Man and Red Man had, like, their own website. They had their own TV show for, I think, an episode and whatnot. They had their own TV show, and then I went on their website, and they was like, you can make beats. And it showed a sequencer, a step sequencer. And I didn't understand the step sequencer at all. Like, I was confused. I was like, what? This is how they made beats? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So FL had that. You know, that is known for their step sequencer and all that. But I was just confused. And then I was like, you know what? Let me see what Reason's hitting for. I went and downloaded Reason demo. And that was even worse. You know, because they showed hardware and they showed you the hardware ad. I commend anybody that uses Reason. My bro, my bro Sidewalk put me on the Reason as well. His workflow on Reasons. Shouts out to Sidewalk. But yeah, when I first encountered Reasons during that time, I was like, what? This is worse. Because it was like they showed you the hardware, and then when I turned that shit around, the back of the hardware, you see all them cables hanging out, the ends and inputs and outputs. I didn't understand it at that time. I was like, what is this? Like, what the? I don't know what to do. Like, what can I do with this? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, yeah. That was wild. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't take me until like 2011 for me to make my first batches of beats. You know what I'm saying? But before, in between those times and around those times, I was learning how to arrange shit on programs like Beatinator. Like Rockstar had Beatinator for the PSP, but I never got the PSP, you know, game of it. But they had a version of it on the computer where you could make your beats on there. They got preset sounds and stuff. And they also had another program around 2009 called Music Shake. And that was similar to Beatinator as well. Like, they had their own preset sounds. It was just, it's not like Splice or Arcade, but it was like Arcade output, Arcade, you know, at its time, but not as intuitive like Arcade is. But it taught me more about like arranging samples and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I just really enjoyed it when I first made it. But then later on, I was like, I don't think I made this. I started realizing that I didn't make this beat. Like, it all was good when I first started. And it was like, yo, Ma, I made this beat, son. I made this beat. And she was like, oh, you made this beat, baby. And I'm like, yeah, I made this beat. And then later on, I'm like, oh, God, I ain't made this beat. What the hell? So, yeah. Then 2011 came. I just closed myself in the room. Got a sample of RuneScape. Flipped that. And boom, like, I just, you know, here I am. It got me in a shock of awe, like, yo, just, you know, make, I just gotta make more beats, you know, after that, you know.
Yeah. Yo, man, yo. That's how I think, you know, for a lot of beat makers, man, I think that's how we start, man. It's like, it's trash. Like, everything is trash when it comes to our beats. And, you know, we so excited. We so excited to show everybody, like, yo, I just made this beat. Yo, I put it from start to finish. I sequenced it. It may be the trashiest trash beat, but it's gold to us. And then as we start, you know what I mean, getting out of the trash phase, we start figuring out our sounds and stuff like that. That's when it starts getting better. You know what I mean? The sounds keep getting better. Sequencing keeps getting better. We start figuring out a whole bunch of different things, man. But, yo, you got me cracking up over here, bro. He said, you made this beat, baby. Oh, yo, yo. Shout out to Moms, man, for, you know, just unwavering support, man. Even if it's trash, unwavering support, man. Shout out to all the moms out there, yo. And dads. But, yo, let me ask you this. Can you recommend some must-see, read, hear items for, you know, my listeners on their journey in beats and music? And you know, and it could be any, like, documentary, a book, a YouTube tutorial, a podcast like this. You know, the Rec Show Podcast, Shameless Plug. You know, anything, man.
That's a great question. So, boom, I'm going to start off with the C. Right now, of course, you know, YouTube tutorials, if you feel up to need to learn how, you know, you can visually see, you know, production. It's a blessed time right now, like how much stuff is being, you know, made online, and people are showing the workflow of how you can make a beat and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? That's beautiful. But at the same time, I am a guy that believes in your own, like, per se, finding your own voice, your own sound. So eventually, you don't want, I don't want to watch too many YouTube videos, because I'll start ending up sounding like them, in my opinion. And I'll be like, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to sound like me. You feel me? Or somebody that pushed me to, but, you know, it's kind of contradicting, but somebody that I'm very influenced by. So you want to, when it comes to watching YouTube videos, you watch what you like. If you love their videos, I say continue to watch their videos. And you'll find your own sound through there too. You know, I feel like you can find your sound anywhere from nowadays. But you always gotta see oneself to make that execution as well. But another thing to see is, I, as far as like a documentary or something, I would recommend people to see that new Kanye West documentary. I recommend that documentary to any producer, artist out there that is trying to, you know, make a name for themselves. Yo, I would recommend that documentary, yo, for real, because, yo, he really, he shows the way it looks. I mean, he's a human being just like everybody else, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, he has his moments where it's very controversial and, you know, very moments where he's gonna be arrogant, you know what I'm saying? But the man said what he said, and he owns up to what he said. He's like, really, that's what I really respect him. His charisma of own, like, believing in himself to push what he wanted to do. Like, when people would, like, it's just dope how like he was really confident. He was like, yo, I'm a rapper. I don't want people to just think I'm make beats. I'm a rapper too. Like, I really want to spit. And he could spit. Like, he really can spit. And cats really sleep on his pen. Like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe they don't. I don't know. You know, that's Kanye. You know what I'm saying? We see him all over the place. But I really recommend that because it pushed me as far as, like, when it came to beats. I was like, yo, nah, got my energy up, because I haven't been, it had moments where I wasn't making any beats, and you watch that, you'd be like, oh shit, it push you, you know, but to each his own, you know what I'm saying? But I recommend that. As far as read, there's a book by this man, this audio engineer by the name of Mixer Man, and he has a 3-series book, The Zen and Art of Mixing. And that was the book I purchased a while back, and I was reading that to understand, you know, his realm of mixing and what it's like to, you know, mix audio tracks and stuff like that. Because I feel like that's very slept on in amongst the, you know, music community, production community. You know, audio engineer is very important. Like, for those that might think that, oh, we could mix our own, which is, you really can, because you know, you have a vision that you see, and you don't want to just use anybody to mix your stuff the way they think it is, and it might not be right. So you want to, I recommend anybody to read that book, because, you know, it shows you, you know, the importance of mixing. And also he also has books I didn't get to yet, I'm going to get to them, but he has books of recording and producing and his philosophy is of it. He's not teaching you how to mix, he's just showing you his trial and errors. But it's a good read. It's a very, very, very funny book too. It's a very dope read. I recommend people to read that book. And as far as like stuff to listen to, you know what I'm saying, to hear a podcast that I agree, like, yo, of course, yeah, I gotta listen to the Rec Show podcast. You know what I'm saying? Tune into this podcast and hear different producers' perspectives. You know what I'm saying? And it's a very, very dope podcast, and I'm honored to be a part of this. And also, I recommend people to check out the Super Duty Tough Work podcast by Blueprint and Illogic. Yo, bro, like, that podcast is one of my favorite podcasts ever, yo. I assure you that I had bad days and I would put that podcast on and I'll be like, yo, they just dropping gems after gems, like, and they doing it from their heart, yo. And they tell you the nitty gritty of like hip hop, because they lived it. They are artists too. They've been out since, you know, with if anybody's familiar with ASAP Rock, LP, and The Orphanage, you know what I'm saying, Idea, you know what I'm saying, in that type of league, Blockhead, all of them cats, you know what I'm saying, they came up with them. And they made their own, you know, version against, you know, they made their own version on hip hop that they believe in, from Ohio, you know what I'm saying, Columbus. And that's just fire, you know, to see different aspects of, you know, people's upbringing and wherever they came from. It could be Cali, it could be, hell, Nebraska. You know, you tell your story and how Nebraska moves. It sounds different. That's what I respect. So, yeah, listen to the Super Duty Tough Work podcast and listen to this podcast currently. Listen to all of the episodes, man, for real. Word up.
Yo, let's get back into the questioning, man. Yo, from your social media content, you could be seen using your Roland SP-404 and the Koala sampler to create some dope beats like that people are hearing right now. So, like, why are these samplers? And then, you know, what's one technique that's expanded your sound, if you're willing to share that type of information, you know?
Yeah, man. Yo, the SP-404 and the Koala sample are amazing tools to use in beat making, like, right now. It's an amazing tool to use. You know, I know the SP-404 is clunky to some cats, you know, that might be into using DAWs and stuff like that, that might not understand the DAWless workflow. But, I don't know, for me, I didn't start with it, but when I got my SP-404, I got mine in 2015 when I was in college. Man, I'll tell you a story about how I got that. So I mainly stick to the SB404. If it was up to me to choose between the Koala or the SB404, it'd be the SB404 for me, because I like to mess around with hardware. I started off in the DAW. It doesn't matter what you use, but for me, I started off in a DAW, but it was hardware as well. So it's like a hybrid. You know what I'm saying? Like I was into tracking out stuff and arranging stuff on the DAW, but making the beats was fun on hardware. Like it's too fun making beats on the SP for me, at least. I have a lot of patience when it comes to messing with the workflow on there. But before I even got the SB404, my bro Fraz, I'm gonna mention later, for those that don't know who Fraz is, you know what I'm saying, that's a good brother of mine. Basically, he put me on to the SB404, and he had his SB404. He was like, "Yo, man," he said, "Yo, bro, you gotta get that SB404," and I was like, "What for?" You know. Like, I was more into digital at that time. And I was like, can you link it up to the computer? Can you use USB to it? I didn't understand. I didn't get the whole analog film. But I was eager to learn, because I had so much the utmost respect for producers before DAWs that was using, like, MPC 3000s, MPC 60s, SP 1200s. Sonics, you know, stuff like that, ASR 10s. I was hyped. I give the utmost respect to those producers back then that made beats at that time, because of how much little memory and how much little time they had to use to make whatever they had to make. Like 10, 20 seconds of sampling time. God damn. So I'm going off the tangent, but the SB404, my bro told me, yo, you should get that joint, because my man's literally had the NES system playing on a video game and whatnot. He was playing the Super Nintendo. He was playing the Super Nintendo, and he hooked that shit up to his SP and sampled it. I was like, wait, get the hell out of here. That shit hyped me up at the time. I was like, what? Seriously? And he said, yeah, man, you can sample the TV, whatever. It's RCA. So I was like, what? So that blew my mind at that time. I was like, get out. I want to sample I want to do that. And when I found out about RCA, like inputs and outputs and stuff like that, especially from school, when I found out about that, it was on. I found out about the RCA to headphone jack, it was over, yo. I was like, yo, I could sample anything. You know what I'm saying? Like anything, not just YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Because we all go on YouTube to find joints, but anything on the internet, shit, could sample Roblox if you fucking wanted to. Like, go on Roblox, you playing the game and stuff with your nephew if you older than, you know, because Roblox is a kid game, but you know, so you playing with your nephew or your little cousins or something like that, and then you hear something in there. I'm like, wait, hold the hell up. I need to sample this. Plug the goddamn SP into your computer. Record, you know what I'm saying? I know nowadays they got, like, other ways, you know, you could record it. There's ways to record it into your DAW and stuff now. But, the SP44 is a thing that you could use to just record any audio with, you know what I'm saying? And that really, really got me wanting to cop the SP44. So it's really two things that got me to want to get the SP44. It's that reason to sample anything all in the internet with the RCA to headphone jack, and the fact that I don't see a waveform, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that's like backwards, because nowadays it's easier to, you know, you use the DAW, you could do what you can, like you could do what you can on the SP44 all on Fruity Loops or whatever DAW that you use. I used to fool dudes you know, people thought I was using the SP at one point, and I was using FL. I was like, I'm just on FL. You know, I don't need FL. But when I got the SP, I wanted to get it so it could, like, I wanted to see that workflow. I wanted to challenge myself to be like, yo, I know we see the waveforms and whatnot, but I want to make it a little bit, like, hard on myself to test myself to see how my ear hears these samples. And I tell you, like, to, you know, to each his own, you know. I say, yo, use it in that sense. You could sharpen your ears on chopping your samples, you know what I'm saying? So I love to chop samples. That's just me, you know what I'm saying, off rip. Like, I started with looping, but I love to chop samples. So using the SP-404 on sampling is tedious but fun. I don't know, for me, you know, or to anybody that's into that workflow, you know what I'm saying, that knows how to freak it on that workflow. But I liked it. I like that challenge, and it sharpened my ear. It sharpened my ear because I can't see what I'm recording unless I'm using FL or, you know, I mean, YouTube and stuff like that. I don't put the samples in there. That takes too long. I go straight to YouTube or the vinyl player and record it into the SP, whatever part that I need to sample, and then I would sharpen it to make it more, you know, to, you know, make my chops and stuff. And yo, the SP-404 makes it fun to make beats because it's like a sequence. It's not even a sequencer. It's like one step sequencer. You know what I'm saying? I know they got the new SP-404, which I'm thinking about copping. It's kind of like the MPC-1. You know what I'm saying? And I got an MPC-1. I'm not even gonna hold you. I got an MPC-1. I don't show too many videos on that, but I got one, and that's why I didn't get the MK-2 yet, because I got an MPC-1. I'm like, what? I'm gonna get it though. I'm probably gonna get it. I'm probably gonna save my money up and get it, because why not? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a more apprehensive, and it's still somewhat, I think, the same DJ setup. I love how the DJ setup on the SP-404 is, how you could press, you know, on one joint and then switch to the other one and use the DJ effects, you know, all of that. That shit is hard body, you know what I'm saying? So I love how quickly and, you know, DJ friendly it is, you know what I'm saying? Compared to the MPC-1, the MPC-1 is a full out, like, just that's a dog in a box, money. Like, straight up, a dog in a box. I'm till this day, like, it's either Ableton or the MPC-1. That's where I'm at with it right now. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just still learning that, you know what I'm saying? But as far as Koala, I feel like I gotta learn more with Koala a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, no, I'm bugging. What the hell am I talking about? Koala's amazing, but I don't like making beats on my phone. That's just me. I salute to anybody making beats on their phone. I salute to everybody, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like I don't want to make that excuse, but for me, it feels better when I'm on the computer or on the SP or MPC, you know what I'm saying? It feels better for me. You know what I'm saying? That's just me, you know what I'm saying? But I see cats making beats on their phone. That shit's crazy. Some people be making some crazy shit on their phone. Like my brother, Low Tech, you know what I'm saying? Low Tech, also known as Thank You right now. Shots out to that brother. Yo, he's crazy with the beats on Koala, like crazy. And Taki, you know what I'm saying? To mention a few. You know what I'm saying? Shots out to those dudes. They doing a thing on them beats, you know what I'm saying? On Koala, you know what I'm saying? But for me, I could dabble. I get around. Like, I have my moments when I'm on it, but for me personally, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm on the SP. I'm on the SP-404, you know what I'm saying?
I get it. So it's like, dude, just challenge yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I understand. Yo, but shout out to Thank You, aka also formerly known as Low Tech. Yo, that's my guy right there. And Tatsumaki, yeah, man. Yo, they, yo, man, he be, yo, I don't even know. Like, Yo, all of these guys that I'll be having on the show, man, they do some crazy stuff. That's what's making me a fan of theirs, yo. But, yo, SP44, the FL, the Dolls and stuff like that, man. Yo, whatever works for you, freak it to make your sound, to make your music the best it can be, man. That's all you can say and do, man. But challenge yourself as well, man. That's what I took from that, man. So I appreciate that, Hajino, man. So let me get back into it, the questioning, which I always wanted to ask my guests, like, you know, you're a Bandcamp user and SoundCloud as well. So everybody tap into a SoundCloud. You got 2 beat tapes titled How I Swing Volume 1 and Hidden Knowledge, which we'll hear a little bit later on in the show, which are like definite neck snappers. So your ear for samples is amazing, which, like, I always want to ask, like, what are your muses or your motivation when you're creating these beat tapes? And, you know, and then go ahead and speak about creating music during this pandemic and its possible benefits to your creativity. And we always got to talk about resiliency, man. You know what I mean? You got to be mentally health conscious these days. You feel me? Talk about that, man.
Oh, man. Thanks, yo. For real, for real. The motivation of creating How I Swing and Hidden Knowledge. I'll start with Hidden Knowledge. So Hidden Knowledge was really originally more so. I made those beats since, like, I guess since 2017. You know what I'm saying? I was gonna put that as a beat tape even before that time, but sometimes I sent some of those beats out to cats, sent it out to people. So they didn't use it yet. And then I was like, you know what? I held on to these beats too long. Let me curate it to what I really originally wanted to do with it and whatnot. And that was Hidden Knowledge. But main object with Hidden Knowledge was, and this is like a pre-story of when I really was interested in music. See, when I was 4 years old, I used to look at PBS Kids, and there would be an indent, like in the 90s, an indent before the cartoon would come on. It would show you an indent to let you know that's PBS Kids and whatnot. It was a dinosaur indent of PBS Kids, and it was a dinosaur just walking in the field. And you had the vocalist, the person who was commentating, "Pete, this is PBS Kids," wherever tri-state area that you was from, you know, to let you know, like, this is Garden City, or, you know, New York City, PBS Kids, you know what I'm saying? So I saw that indent when every time I see that indent, that music that was playing on that indent was just enchanting to me. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? I'm sorry, I'm cursing. But yeah, I was like, yo, as a kid, I was like, who made this? That is my first question. I was like, not my first question ever, but the question I had in my mind was like, who created this music? You know what I'm saying? Like, who created this? And it gave me a more interesting way of listening to music, because you got commercials and they call it bumper music. And I guess I could give a salute to, you know, the lo-fi community that is doing as that, but in their own way. But the thing of bumper music, it's not music that you would really, you know, recognize, like, as like it's a single on the radio or a single that's on Spotify and stuff like that. Nah, it's like advertisement music or music for scores for a movie, or for a segment, a TV show, or anything, you know what I'm saying? So, to me, that's like a hidden knowledge of something. Like, unless you have the idea of where you get the credits from, you find the credits of the database where that music is, you know what I'm saying? That's a certain knowledge that, you know, you learn about. Like, oh, this is where this song came from. And this is where they, you know, like music from Butron Records or KPM music, you know, library music, you know what I'm saying? Like, that will use, mainly make music for scores. So I guess to say hidden knowledge is basically a, you know, a connection to that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to make that more so like a sense of feeling of, you know, you're learning something that is not really, probably overlooked, not really looked at in details, but there's knowledge in that. There's a purpose in that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the hidden knowledge tape. And how I swing was a little bit later as well. I was in the midst of making that as well when I was making hidden knowledge, and it took time, you know, life, understanding, and different beats to put it together. Now, Madlib, I could say is pretty much one of my favorite producers, like, for me. Like that helped me. Like, Madlib's beats always just, his beats always get me wondering why I should just go hard in sampling. Like, you could not only sample, you know, stuff that you probably heard from your OGs that already sampled it already and whatnot. Like, I was like, yo, I want to dig further, like, go into more. And you don't have to, my thing is, you don't have to really sample the rare shit. You really don't always have to do that, unless I want to do that shit. That's just me. But you don't have to. That doesn't make the beat dope. You know what I'm saying? What make the beat dope is what you hear from it and what you can do to make a difference in that sample. So, you know what I'm saying? That could be any sample. You know what I'm saying? So, as far as like how I swing, I guess it was basically an inspiration to Madlib, but mainly it is based off of a Pokemon. My bro used to say, I move a little bit slow in beats. Like, I can make beats fast, but I want to finalize beats. So to finalize beats, that takes time. So he would always call me Reggie Gigass. He said, yeah, your Pokemon spirit is Reggie Gigass. And I'm like, why? Which is one of the Reggies, you know, Reggie Ice, but Reggie Gigas. So I was like, why? He said, because he has a special ability called Slow Start. So that's the main, you know, it doesn't show it, but How I Swing Volume 1 is really, you know, a connection to a slow start. That's why you see Reggie Gigas in the front cover of the album, you know, in Tim's, because hip hop. But Reggie Gigas has that ability, slow start, and it correlates to my process of making beats. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a slow start, but when it comes, it ain't no stopping. You know what I'm saying? You can be slow, like it seems like moving like a turtle, but once it gets its momentum, it's like, that's how I be working. Like, one day I won't make any beats, and then the next thing I make, like, if I'm in a good mood, I'll make like 5, 8, 10 beats or something in a day. It depends. It varies. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's why I make, you know, that album the way that album is. Seeing the pandemic really changed a lot of aspects in, you know, the music industry, and it's a really tough time for me. There was a lot of, like, during the pandemic, it was a lot of self reflecting for me, and self, you know, building, since at the time I was blessed to be able to, like, you know, use the skills that I learned from school, and my mother pushed me to, like, be like, yo, I'm gonna need you to build some bookshelves and stuff like that. Like, she pushed me and my brother, my younger brother, to, you know, build stuff. Like, we went to Home Depot and we just build shit. You know what I'm saying? So you just, you know, it during that pandemic, it just taught me to really see self and then just learn how to build your own shit, like build your own stuff and whatnot. Learn the understanding of, you know, how it is to build something, you know, to put it together and whatnot, and then seeing it come into play and whatnot. Like, we built a few, like, I built my desk. I'm on it, man. I'm just grateful right now. You feel me? Really grateful. But as far as, like, the music, creatively, yeah, it's just, it was a lot of self-reflecting. There was a lot of stuff I could tell you that I'll be lying to you if I said it was perfect, because there was a lot of more understanding of, like, yo, I gotta own up to the stuff that I do like and stuff that I don't like, you know? Because a lot of the stuff, I feel like it's a group type of mentality to feel like you have to like something because of the group, and you don't want to disband the group. But at the end of the day, you do gotta, you have your own opinions, you know what I'm saying? You have your own approaches. So something that don't align to what you feel, you know what I'm saying, you don't have to agree on that, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that's self-explanatory. I'm sure people know that already, you know. I ain't saying nothing special, you know what I'm saying? But self-reflecting is real. Having your boundaries. My bro, shouts out to Savo Cal. He blessed me with that knowledge. Boundaries for show is important. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, let's get back into it. You know, the four pillars of hip-hop are DJing, MCing, breaking, and graphing. Which element did you begin your element, or did you begin your journey with, and, you know, like, how did it affect your life when you discovered it?
I think one of the four pillars that I started with was definitely DJing. Because before FL Studio and before, like, you know, making, like, understanding how to make beats, I liked music a lot. I used to love gathering all different types of songs that I liked and playing them together and seeing what songs sound right after, you know, when you play this song sounds good next to that song. I used to do that. I used to, like, add different songs together like that in playlists on Windows Media Player. Used to get whatever songs on LimeWire, Kawa, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody remember Kawa, but, you know what I'm saying? Download all the songs that I liked on there and, you know, blast those joints on Windows Media Player, man. I used to also unconsciously loop on Windows Media. Like, that's what taught me to understand queuing and doing transients, unconsciously, like, without really realizing that that's what it was. Like, I did it not because I was looping, like, oh, I'm looping a sample. I did it because I liked the way that part of the song sounded. And I was like, I just repeated it, like, every time. Like, and sometimes it would be on beat. But, you know, I was like, yo, this just sounded cool to me. I was like, this sounded nice. I just liked it to loop it that way, but not realizing I was looping, you know what I'm saying? So stuff like that really got me to understanding DJing. As far as all the other, you know, four elements, breakdancing, I used to dance when I was a kid, but nah, that, hey, who knows? Who knows? If I'm in a good mood and I'm faded, drunk or something like that, you know, who knows what happens, man? I don't know. You play a good song, hey, I might jam. I might do a little two-step. But I never graffitied MCs. We're gonna cut it off from there, because I have done raps, but I am not a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? That's it. Who knows?
Yeah, I feel you. Yo, so DJ, man, that's what you started with. Yeah, man. Yo, if it wasn't for beats, like, I wouldn't be so into beats, you know, back then. Like, when I could actually see the credits and I'll go get the cassettes from Broadway in Camden, New Jersey, at the New Jersey Transportation Center on Broadway in Camden. Yo, I, like... I don't know what I'll be doing right now, yo, because I was always into the beats, man, the beats of the music, and then I got into the lyrics. But anyway, yo, so, you know, this is a new game I have called Superheroes. You play it by naming your childhood, teenager, and adult beat maker or music producer superheroes. So just tell us why they were so important at those specific times in your life as well. And this is kind of like a history lesson for people to research. So no drama's off limits, bro.
That's a dope concept. Nah, that's fire. All right, bet. So I guess I'm with childhood, teenage, and beatmaker. You know what? My childhood, I'm going to say Andy Quinn. You know what I'm saying? Just like I mentioned for the Hidden Knowledge. Andy Quinn, when I found out, I'm just keeping it stacked. Like, when I found out about who made that music for PBS Kids, it was Andy Quinn, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna keep it a buck. It took me till like I was 20, and that was when I was 4, you know what I'm saying? So, when I was 20, I found out, like, from YouTube, I was like watching, I wanted to see that ending again. I was like, yo, I gotta see that ending again, because that just stuck in my mind, because it stuck with me, like, you know what I'm saying, from a test of time. Like, I need, like, it was like a mission to hear that, you know what I'm saying? And when I was listening to it, I said, yo, this is amazing. When I comment on the video, I say, yo, this joint is amazing. And the dude was like, yeah, that's my favorite too. It reminded me of like Final Fantasy. Then months, but I still didn't know who it was until months later, or I think a year later, he commented on the same comment. He said, yo, bro, I got copyrighted by the actual people who saw that joint. And I'm like, what? Who did it? And he sent the link. And it was Andy Quinn. It was a dude named James. Andy Quinn had made another moniker of himself called James Hillside. And he has a few albums out under that name. So, when I found that out, I tell you, after I went to bed and I found it out, I was so excited, I cried. I literally cried. Like, I was in tears in my bed. Like, I was just crying. It was like, yo, it took me till I was 20 to find out who really made this. And I don't know, to other people might be like, it's just music. No, music is spiritual. This joint really touched me, like, as a child. And it's the reason why I make beats till this day. You can go check that song out on D Wolf. I mean, I don't, D Wolf, that's another thing. You like, people's like sampling, you know what I'm saying? D Wolf got their own library. Go check it out. James Hillside, Sweetwater. That, yeah, God, that's, it's not hip hop though, you know what I'm saying? Y'all might, you might sample it too. You might mess around and sample it, you know what I'm saying? Hey, but go check that joint out. That's still one of my favorite songs ever in life. Like, it's just ethereal, and it just sounds different from what you might think is a sense of music and tradition, I guess. I don't know. To me, it just sounds different from any type of music I've heard before. Like, I don't hear any type of music. I can't think of any music that is like that. Like, dude said it was like Final Fantasy, but I'm like, I don't hear it. I don't really hear it. It sounds like itself. And yeah, Andy Quinn, man. Andy Quinn. He's a genius, yo. Amazing composer. I love it still to this day, because he can make any type of music he choose to want. And he's a crazy piano. He's a piano player. Crazy pianist. You know what I'm saying? He was using, I had one of his records. Like, you probably see one of his records, the album, The Atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Atmospheres. I had to clop that record, yo. I was like, yo, nah, I gotta get one of his. If I see his record anywhere, I'm copying it. Just cause. I just gotta copy any of his records. That's how I feel. Like, I see any of his records, CDs, cassette tapes, I'm copying that motherfucker. Like, straight. I don't care. Straight. And as far as hip hop, as far as hip hop, who I'm influenced by, like as far as like my hero, I'll say Madlib and Timbaland. Timbaland is in the start of it, is the first producer that I've acknowledged who was a producer, you know what I'm saying, when I was young, you know what I'm saying, because my brother and sister, what they listen to, my sister per se told me, this is Timbaland, he's a producer, and you might be a beat maker, just make your own beats. And I was like, what? Because I always used to beat, I used to beatbox to myself, used to make, you know, beats in my head when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying. I always used to make beats in my mind and stuff. That was just, you know, what I did. But yeah, man, like I just knew I wanted to make beats, you know what I'm saying, as a youth, I just knew. But, you know what I'm saying, like, Timbaland is definitely one of my favorite producers, and now as the older one, like, I still respect Timbaland and his beats, you know what I'm saying. Madlib, of course, Dilla, you know what I'm saying, Dilla, New Job Best, you know what I'm saying, DJ Quick, Pete Rock, Can Kick, Eric Saraman, you know what I'm saying, cats, the OGs, Obliv, Twami, a lot of cats, you know what I'm saying. But Madlib is my favorite producer, man, like, for real, like, because of Madlib is why I wanted to like sample so much, like to say, like go outside of myself to sample, you know what I'm saying. Like he made it where you would say, he, when you listen to a sample he sampled, be like, he sampled this. Cause I don't know, from my perspective, I've seen a lot of cats sample jazz. Those are like your go to joints, like cats sample jazz, soul records, sometimes rock, prog rock. Not really that much prog rock from what I'm hearing, but usually jazz. I would hear a lot of people sample jazz, you know what I'm saying. And Madlib, he makes jazz, he loves jazz, and I love jazz too, you know, nothing wrong with it. But he went to folk music, he went to different arrays of like songs that just sound, that he thought sounded good, and he made a beat out of it. And it was like, yo, it made me want to just be like, yo, there's something out there other than, you know, I liked it. I just made me want to go on my adventure sampling some crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? That's Madlib. You know what I'm saying? That's my Madlib. But yeah, and those are the other producers that I mentioned, them two is, you know, what molded me as a producer. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, peace and love and respect to all of them, man. They still inspiring, man. Still inspiring, you know. So, yo, now, can you tell us, and I asked this just for, you know, inspirational part of the podcast, you feel me? Like, can you tell us about a time when you failed and how you overcame that? And then secondly, what do you wish you would have known before you started on this journey in beats and music, you know?
I guess I got two stories. I guess the one thing I felt was like almost near failure was when I first made my first beat. Before my friends, I had friends, we was chilling with, hanging out, and they was like, they wanted to make like a movie, and it was like, yeah, we're gonna make a movie, and we're gonna start rapping. And I was like, I'm gonna make the beats. And he said, yeah, you're gonna make the beats. So I was hyped with it. And I felt like it was real. So I felt like I had an opportunity to want to make something. But then they was only joking around. They was like, yeah, we joking, man. We ain't taking it serious right now. We was only joking. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And right then and there, I felt like, damn, I'm almost becoming a poser. And that scared the crap out of me. I was like, nah, I'm not no damn poser. I'm glad that happened, because that pushed me to close the door and be like, yo, I gotta make this beat. I just gotta make one beat. I don't care how I'm gonna make it. I just gotta make a beat. That energy right there is so needed in production. Like, but it's like a force when I made it. I didn't criticize myself or nothing. I just was like, I gotta make something. And then I just made it, that beat. And here I am because of it. But the second, but if you want to talk about later on, as far as like, I guess one of the, I had shows like, for example, I think I had a show, a couple of shows like I've done that was really bad. Like I've done shows that had nobody on this set. It was only a few people and I still played them. But the worst thing that happened to me was when I did this one show and my computer, I couldn't even play the show because my computer battery was messed up. So I was like, damn. I felt bad because it felt like I couldn't even, in a certain area, like people that had a genre that I usually wouldn't go to, you know what I'm saying? It felt like I didn't show my perspective that night, and that was very bad, like embarrassing for me. I was like, yo, I can't even play y'all's show. I can't even play y'all's show. That shit hurt. So I was like, damn, like, man. I had to, you know, of course, at the time, didn't have much money, so I had to really, you know, borrow, you know, from Ma Dukes. Love Ma Dukes. You know, some money to get a new battery, which is not much, $50, and install the battery myself, and that made me more dedicated to, you know, be like, yo, I gotta really use what I got, you know what I'm saying? Use what I got until I get, like, a better equipment, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, that's one of the failures I had. Another thing is communication. Like, I know it's like a lot of beat makers out here probably not very communicative, you know what I'm saying? And I'm definitely one of them. Like, but I'm trying to get better. Shit. But it took a while because I'm not the most social interactive, you know, as I thought I would be. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it took a while for me to even say what I'm saying right now. Like, this took trial and error practice, just constantly telling myself, yo, I'm gonna be a better communicator. You know what I'm saying? Because of that passive energy, I had moments where it felt like if I didn't put my foot down, I wouldn't be feeling all the stress from, like, dealing with when you collaborating with other cats. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it feels like you might be moving like your phony or moving like this and whatnot. So it's like, you know, nah, man, I gotta communicate. I gotta be a better communicator. And I'm thankful for the people that I'm around right now, like my bro Chris DeCastro, Will Queso, New Breed Dex, you know what I'm saying? Wavy Bagels, my peoples, you know what I'm saying? T Dot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm grateful, man. I'm just grateful to be around those cats and, you know, be able to express. I do Isaiah, you feel me? All them cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm grateful for them for pushing me to really, like, express myself whatever way, you know. And say whatever is on my mind, you feel me? So, yeah.
So, can you tell me, like, or elaborate on, like, what the Off The Scene Collective is and its mission, like, and can you name, like, other beat makers associated with the collective and, you know, other ways you connect with beat makers from New York or around the world for that instance, you know?
Alright, so boom, big shouts out to Off The Scene Collective. They're a collective that is based from New York, and their mission is to bring, you know, whatever producers' upbringing comes and bring them together to, you know, showcase their beats, you know, showcase their sound, really show an ear to the underground, you know, the independent artists that's trying to push their sound and bring them together, you know what I'm saying? It's founded by my bro Froz, and his name is spelled Furoz. Froz. It's not, it's some cats that do know him, they might think it's Forza or something, or Furo. I've even back then when I first met him, I butchered it, but he told me it's Froz, so y'all gotta get it correct. It's Froz, you feel me? Used to be Froz Peace, but it's now Froz, you feel me? Check out my dude's beats. He's a genius. That's my brother right there. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Froz. You know what I'm saying? They got a lot of, you know, I recommend y'all to go on their website. You know what I'm saying? Offthescene.co. Offthescene.co. You know what I'm saying? And they got merch. They got tapes. They got, you know, music for y'all to listen to, including my How I Swing Volume 1 beat tape. You know what I'm saying? It's under Off the Scenes. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to them for putting me on the collective. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Off the Scenes is amazing. We, like, back in like around 2019 2018, around that time, they had shows. You know what I'm saying? We threw shows in New York, in Manhattan, and different parts of New York. Bring different people in the scene of New York into, you know, perform their beats. You know what I'm saying? I was definitely one of the, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of that as well. You know, cats that was also in there as well too. You know what I'm saying? Cats, amazing producers like Jay Words, Killer Manzingo, Froz, you know what I'm saying, Alphonse, Jesse Raxon, just to name a few, you know what I'm saying? So, boom. If you really want to check out a lot of what they do, I recommend to go on their website, you know, offthescene.co. C-O, you know what I'm saying? Offthescene.co. You feel me? And check out the Dreamwalkers Volume 1. It's a compilation tape of different producers such as myself, Jesse Raxon, Froz, Kristen, you know what I'm saying? Wavy Bagels, it's a lot of cats. Job Bless, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of cats on there, and you won't be disappointed. It's a really dope selection of beats on there. Dope selection of cats, you know, dope music, you feel me? And since you mentioned New York cats from, you know, producers that also, you know, in New York and it's the scene, I want to shout out to Jesse Raxon, my brother Chris DeCastro. You know what I'm saying? Y'all gotta listen to, yo, Chris DeCastro really pushed me as a producer. You know what I'm saying? That's my bro. I speak highly of his name. You know what I'm saying? I really do. Like, he showed me, you know, a sense of like, yo, you a producer, right? I'm gonna show you what a producer really is. And even outside of a producer, you got like a that has nothing to do with music, but to deal with audio. You know what I'm saying? An audio technician. He showed me that, and I was like, yo. I was like, yeah, nah, I gotta give this dude a salute. So, you know what I'm saying? Chris DeCastro, I'm gonna say his name once again. Chris DeCastro, that's my bro. You know what I'm saying? And I mentioned Jesse Raxon, that's another good brother of mine, you know what I'm saying? Amazing producer. Shouts out to him. My brother Wavy Bagels, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of cats out here, you know what I'm saying? Derivada, Job Bless, you know what I'm saying? Lungs, the whole grip, you know what I'm saying? Strong, you know what I'm saying? Is the, yo, grip strong, you know what I'm saying? My bro God's Touch, you know what I'm saying? Alphonse, mad producers out here, man. DZ. DFNS, you know what I'm saying? Go check his music out. Do it for the boppers. You know what I'm saying? A lot of cats, you know what I'm saying? A lot of cats up in New York that are very dope. If I ain't mention y'all name, my apologies. I'm like, it's a lot of cats, yo. So, those cats that I mentioned, yo, listen to their music, yo. It's a lot of... New York is an interesting scene, you know what I'm saying? Because we was doing, during that time, we was doing a lot of shows out there, you know, just to mention, you know, Off the Scenes, In Plain Sight, Dirty Tapes, you know what I'm saying? Just to mention a few, you know, a lot of stuff was going on during those times, during like 2014, really 12 to like 17, 18, 19, before the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? 2012 to before the pandemic. A lot of underground beat sets was popping off. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, Ewan. You know what I'm saying? Boom, Ewan. That's another dope-ass producer. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to him and his success. You know what I'm saying? Amongst Mutant Academy. Big ups to Mutant Academy. You know what I'm saying? Yo, yeah, man, it's real. It's real out here, you know what I'm saying? It's really real, you know? Yeah, man. I miss my city already. I'm in Atlanta. I really miss my city, man. I really do. Like, I'm gonna come back up there for real. But I really want to go to LA or Toronto, you know, because the scene over there is crazy too. Seeing a lot of talent all over the globe, you know what I'm saying? All thanks to, you know, the internet. Seeing different people out here expressing their music, you know, and that, it's a beautiful thing, man, for real.
So then, you know, my last question to you is, man, this has just been such a amazing interview. What should the internets look out for from you, Hajino, in 2022? And, you know, how can the internets tap into you and your music? Go ahead and plug your socials. Go ahead and plug in, you know, Off the Scene. Go ahead and plug in anything that you're about to get into, collaborative projects, all that stuff, man. Let us know, man.
Well, earlier this year, this past February in this year, I have production credits in two albums, you know, that I'm a part of. The first one came out in February the 1st, my brother Lord Queso, his project, More Chores, you know what I'm saying, has production from me, Chris DeCastro, and Jesse Raxon. And the project is under PTP Vision. Shout out to Gen Grizzly. You know what I'm saying? I have some joints on that album. It's a really good listen. You know what I'm saying? Check out the song PS4 Box. You know what I'm saying? Check out the whole album, to be honest with you. Like, the album is an experience. You know what I'm saying? So really good listen. I totally recommend it. If you into that raw sound and unique joints, stuff from, you know, hip hop, that raw shit, go listen to that. You know what I'm saying? You want to learn something? Go listen to that. Because Queso is not just no average rapper. He an MC and an artist and an illustrator. He draws. The dude's a multi-dimension artist. You know what I'm saying? So big shots out to Lord Queso and everybody that's a part of this project. You know what I'm saying? Now the second one is by me and my bro Dunce Cap. You know what I'm saying? We both have our project, Go Climb a Tree. Now, we was working on that album for 2 years. Everything fully produced by me and my brother Dunce Cap, an ill art MC, an ill MC and a director. He, you know what I'm saying? He blessed this album. It was awesome working with him. And the album is under Backwards Studios, which is a big like a blessing for me, you know what I'm saying, and him, you know what I'm saying? It's an honor to be a part of, you know, to have their album being supported by them, you know what I'm saying? So big shouts out to Backwoods Studios, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know, it's with Billy Woods, Phil Did, amazing artists. Go check them out. Curly Castro, go check these cats out. Backwoods Studios, amazing, you know what I'm saying? They bring in that feel, like, for real, like their own sound, you know what I'm saying? So big shouts out to Backwoods Studio, and it's an honor, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, go check out those albums that's out right now, you know what I'm saying? But 2022 is gonna be an interesting year. Expect more beat tapes from me. I'm gonna be really trying my best to put something out as far as like more beat tapes, you know what I'm saying? More production from the cast I'm working with, Lord Queso, Dunce Cap, Chris DeCastro, Jesse Raxon, you know what I'm saying? Cats out here. And also, expect an album from my bro, Isaiah, you know what I'm saying? From LA. He's in LA right now, but he from Queens. Ill, ill, ill MC as well. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah, you know what I'm saying? Me and Isaiah got a project we working on. It's under the mix. I don't know, to be honest, when it will come out, but I'm sure, for sure, it's gonna come out this year. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be some raw shit. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be fire. You know what I'm saying? Currently right now trying to mix it, put it down, you know what I'm saying, make it right, you know what I'm saying, for the test of time, you know what I'm saying. So be on the lookout for the Isaiah album, you know what I'm saying, with me and Isaiah, you know what I'm saying. Be on the lookout for more collaborations. I'm open to collaborate. I'm just very busy as far as like work goes, but you know what I'm saying, be on the lookout for more beat tapes from me. You know what I'm saying? Stuff is going to be looking really litty in 2020 and beyond. 2022 is really like more of the process year for me, because I'm not, I know everybody say this year going to be my year. You know, who's to say anything happen? God, but you know, anything but bad stuff. But you know, we keeping it positive and we keeping it, you know, strong to, you know, be prepared for more, you know, dope shit, you know what I'm saying? In our lives, you know what I'm saying? So I can't really say what year it is. All I'm saying is that you gonna hear some shit from me. You gonna hear it. I don't know when, but you gonna hear it. And it's definitely gonna be out for this year and beyond, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's what I gotta say is that. So as far as to check out more of my music, you know what I'm saying? Check my SoundCloud, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, it's Hajino on SoundCloud. You know, Hajino, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to spell my name or you see it, you know what I'm saying? Check my SoundCloud out. I got joints on there. My Bandcamp is hajinobeats.bandcamp.com, you know what I'm saying? Go check that out. Check my Instagram out. You know what I'm saying? It's Hajino the One. You know what I'm saying? Hajino the One. All together. Hajino the One. You know what I'm saying? And if you go on the link in the bio of my link, you'll see the link tree of, it'll show you all of my, you know, avenues of, you know, socials. My Twitter. I think my Twitter's on there. Yes, my Twitter. I got my pretty much my Bandcamp, all the albums that came out through Bandcamp, most of my albums that are currently came out on Bandcamp, and my, you know, SoundCloud and stuff like that on there as well too. So follow me on Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Hajino the One on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter, it's Hajino the One. But the thing is that with Twitter, you capitalize the A, you know, the first letters, you know, all of the words, Hajino the One, HTO, you know what I'm saying? Those are capital, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, follow me on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? Hit me up. I got beats, you know what I'm saying, for sale. Beats on deck, you know what I'm saying? If you need any beats, holla at me, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. Yeah, man, that's about it, you know what I'm saying? It's an honor to be on this podcast, for real.
Yeah, yo, man, the pleasure is all mine. It's a pleasure to have your perspective, your energy, man, humor, beats on the show, all that, man. Yo, shouting out like, yo, you shouted out like 30, 40 different people, man. Like, I have to go back and re-listen and try and follow all of them and tap into all of their joints. But yeah, man, thank you, Hajino, for allowing us to showcase you, blast you out into the, you know what I mean, the ether and the internets and all that stuff, man. Yo, so yo, everybody that's listening, if you made it to this point, man, I appreciate you, man. Hajino the One, thank you for being on the show. If you like this podcast, go ahead, like, subscribe, follow, all that type of stuff, wherever you listen to your podcast at. And yeah, we're going to be see you on another one, man. Next week is going to be a different one. It's going to be a dope one. And yeah, man, Tap in. We're getting bigger and better. And yeah, I mean, if you want to be a part of that, there's always going to be a link in the description where you can donate and, you know, all that type of jazz, yo. So, yeah, man, we'll see y'all next week, man. Make sure y'all count y'all blessings, man. Make sure y'all still wash your hands, take care of yourselves, man. And treat yourself right, all right? Peace and love, y'all. I'll see y'all on another one. Pow, 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 pow.
In ancient... nomads... ancient in ancient in ancient ancient nomad.
These lights represent every living person on the planet. The white lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really do that. But for bro, like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things: believe in your music, take care of your mentals, become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA.